You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Murder!
Ba-ba-da-ba. Welcome to Death Do Us Part podcast, hosted by my wife, Jamie.
Hello.
And myself, Mark. What up, y'all?
Hi.
Hey, peeps.
What's up?
What is going on? What is the dilly-illio?
What the fuck is it today? Is it the 21st?
Oh, the 20th? Babe, why are you asking me? I have no fucking clue.
What day of the week is it?
Sunday?
Okay. So, like, this is my biggest problem on calls. People are confused when I'm like, what's the date? And then I have to stop and look at everybody behind me and I'm like, what's the date?
Yeah, right?
I don't fucking know.
I can't
fault people at all when I'm like, what day of the week is it? And they're like,
I have no clue.
I don't even know either.
Seven?
Yeah. And then the whole month of January, I'm going to be like, it's 2024.
Oh, my God.
And my patients are going to be like, no, ma'am.
Dude, this year flew by, didn't it?
Seriously.
It really fucking flew by.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I think today's the 21st. I do have it's the 22nd.
Oh. Alrighty then.
Shit. I thought I was off by a day. It was the 20th.
It's almost Christmas. It's almost Christmas.
I have a watch on that tells me the date, and I apparently
did
not look at it all day.
Chrysler.
Oh, my God.
Merry Christmas. Merry Chrysler, people.
Yeah. Happy holidays to those who, we have to be all-inclusive.
Yes. I hope you are having good holidays and a Merry Christmas.
Like, it doesn't feel Christmassy.
I think it's because the weather. Like, the past few years, we have gotten screwed out of fucking Christmas.
Out of a white Christmas.
Out of a white Christmas,
and now this year, it's going to be like 50.
Yeah, they said this whole week is 40s and 50s.
It just
in Illinois.
Yeah.
Dude, this Chicago weather is fucking for the birds.
This is why I've had a cold for like a month.
Yeah, this is for the birds, man. I
wake up and I'm like, ugh, I think I'm dying.
Oh, I wake up the same way.
You sure? My partner and I woke up the other day and we were both like,
ugh. Yeah.
Dude, I was like, are you good? She's like, are you good? And I was like, no. We're going on calls. We're fucking sicker than the people we're picking up.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I had another partner who was in a mask the whole day the other day. Like, the stomach flu's going around bad.
Oh, yeah.
And it's quick. It's like only lasting 24 to 36 hours, but it is just knocking people the fuck down.
I forgot to tell you the other morning.
Yeah.
I think I had it.
You might have. Like, people, they're puking, like perfuse, puking. And then as soon as they start getting better from the puking, then they start pooping.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I know people don't want to hear this, but it was bad.
Like, people, I mean.
Very bad.
For people to call the ambulance for it, they're fucking miserable.
I sat down and, my stomach.
And unfortunately.
I almost shit my pants three times.
The ERs are just boggled down. So, like,
I bet.
Silver Cross was at 6 hours the other day. Payless was at 5 hours the other day. And that's good. So, like, people are calling and we're trying to explain to them, like, listen, we're not deterring you from going.
Yeah.
But please understand, you're going to sit in a waiting room.
You're going to wait
for 6 hours, which means you can stay home and be miserable and take our advice about how to kind of get through this. Or you can go sit in a waiting room and be miserable around other people doing the same thing as you.
Right.
Just to be told the same thing we're telling you.
Right.
Like,
and to be sent home.
And they're not giving, like, it's not an automatic, okay, you have the stomach flu, you're dehydrated, you're getting fluids. There was a nationwide shortage on 0.9.
Oh, really?
Which is, so 0.9 is 0.9 normal saline. That's what's in the IV bags that they give you for fluids.
Yeah.
there was a nationwide shortage because of the hurricane.
Oh.
To the point we were told, you do not hang a bag unless absolutely necessary. Like, they didn't even want us hanging bags for coats. Like,
no kidding.
Yeah, like, there was that big of a shortage. So, like, they're just starting to get the supply back.
Yeah.
So, it's not a guarantee you're going to get fluids.
Wow.
You'll get a popsicle. You know, hey. They'll give you what they call a PO challenge. They'll give you a popsicle and some saltines and see if you can keep it down.
Probably Pedialyte.
And if you can, they just send you home. So, that's what we're telling people. Gatorade, Pedialyte, small sips, don't gulp.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have cramping. Ibuprofen seems to be working for the cramping that people are having. You're going to get the sweats. Like, it's terrible. It's quick. That's the only good thing. And then for the diarrhea, the only thing we really can suggest, you can try Imodium.
Right.
But the biggest thing is it's going to come out of you one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
Don't push.
No.
Because people are pushing.
Oh, I didn't have to.
They're cramping and they're pushing they're passing the fuck out.
Yeah, I didn't have to. So,
there's your PSA.
Yeah.
Don't push to shit because you're going to pass out and then we're going to find you with your pants around your ankles in the bathroom. Right.
That's how I'm going to die. I know it.
I tell you that and I tell everybody that I tell you that. I'm like, he's going to be the naked fucking commode coach stuck in between the wall and the toilet. And the paramedics are going to walk in and be like, not today, Satan.
Oh,
and they're
going to
walk the fuck right back out.
Yep. I totally am. I totally am. Yep. It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, you're going to be the naked commode coach. Yeah. People look at me when I say that, and I was like, oh, he's aware.
I am. Yeah. I'm fully aware.
We have a toilet room in the master bedroom and master bathroom. So, like, the toilet is in a separate room. It's just the toilet.
Right.
He is just the right size that if he just put his knees out a little bit, he's not falling off the toilet, and he would fall asleep for hours.
I would.
Hours.
I'd be playing on my phone, falling asleep.
Yep. And you didn't move because you just fit right in the space.
I fit perfectly.
Really,
I'd move to one side and I'd be hanging on the wall.
Yep, which really doesn't do anything but further you're going to be a commode code theory. Yeah.
But probably creepy, I'll be sitting up though.
Oh, most of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be sitting up.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think you will be. I think you're going to be the one stuck in between the toilet and the wall. And the medics are going to walk in and be like, nope.
Fuck
this
guy.
We ain't fucking doing this bullshit.
Fuck this guy.
Most commode codes are sitting up.
Oh, that's creepy.
It's very weird.
Yeah, that's creepy.
I had a guy, they called, this was years and years ago, and they didn't want, like, the wife asked for a silent run.
Yeah.
Which, here's another PSA. We don't do silent fucking runs.
No.
If you call an ambulance, I'm waking up the whole fucking neighborhood.
Right.
I'm sorry. Telling me you want a silent run is nothing more than a guarantee of you're going to hear the fucking air horn the entire fucking way.
Right.
That's all. So they wanted a silent run. So we get there, not a silent run, and walk into the bathroom, and he's sitting up, was pooping, looked at me and said, I'm going to die. And went.
And died.
That was
it. My God. That's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking creepy, dude.
We have a bunch of, like, new kids at the firehouse. And they're, like, just getting their EMT and stuff like that. So when they hear us talking, sometimes they look a little scared. They look a little worried.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
you think?
Guys, if someone tells you they're going to die, like.
They're
going to die. And then I was explaining, like, looking at angels. And the guy's like, what do you mean looking at angels? I said, when they're staring over your fucking shoulder and they're looking at something, like, fixed, I said, they're looking at angels. And he was like, oh.
You know what, though? I don't know if I ever told you this. The first time that I went through withdrawals, the first day that I came home from the hospital and went through withdrawals.
You were talking to angels.
I
know you were.
I told the paramedic. I said, I'm gonna die, dude.
Yeah.
I feel it.
He told me.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest feeling.
Like, I felt myself, like,
when they
going.
The first time they came to get you, when you were in, you know, like, respiratory arrest, they waited for me to get to the ER before they left.
Yeah.
Because I made a comment to one of the lieutenants about the meds. I said, Narcan's not gonna do anything, it's Norco. And he looked at me and I said, I'm a paramedic. And then the one guy was like, we got to go. And I looked at him and I was like, well, fuck me. I know what that means. So like they knew I was a paramedic. So they waited for me to get there. They explained everything that they did.
Yeah.
And then the second time when they came to get you, you probably don't remember this. The engine guy walked in and came in around the corner and was like, holy shit, dude, you didn't fucking die. And then looked at me and went, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like, no, totally cool. We all thought the same thing.
Right.
It's okay.
Right.
I said he did die twice, but yeah. But, oh my God, I totally lost my train of thought.
But yeah, I was talking to angels.
Yeah, I know you were. You were staring.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I always said, if somebody looks like they're squeezing their chest, like they're going to die. You know that that's a fucking sign now in the paramedic books?
Oh, really?
Yes, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's a fucking sign.
No
shit. I was taught that 20 fucking years in paramedic school by one of the firemen.
No shit.
Joey B was like, if you see someone doing this, get your shit together. They're going to die.
Really?
Every fucking time I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep. So.
Dude, that's crazy. Yeah.
But like, and now 'tis the season, you know. Mental health is a big thing and people are.
It is.
It's a sad time for people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't really had too much of that.
No, thank God.
Yeah. A lot of crazy.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Oh, like, yeah. A lot of fake crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And like,
well, that's bullshit.
People who, I mean, I know it sounds like it's a terrible term, but like people who have seen it know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When you're talking gibberish 1 minute and then stop to say, bitch, I'll cut you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
you're on bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That was the other day.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
I can bob and weave at the best of them.
Exactly.
And I caught the baby. That's all that matters.
Mm-mm. Good job. Yeah. Baby in hands.
Yeah. It was like all
that's
I could
think. That's most important.
All I could think of. This is so stupid. Is Backdraft when Kurt Russell's running out of the building with the baby. Like,
did you picture yourself as it?
That's how I caught the baby.
Oh my God. Because
he looked at me and he's like, you ready? And I was like, I'm as ready as I'm going to be. And he like, we both went at the same time. And that's all I could picture. It was. Because that's how I caught her. It's so stupid.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was my fucking day the other day. Yeah.
Wow.
It's great.
Anything else going on? Any new Patreons or anything?
I don't think so, no.
I know a couple Patreons have been having some issues with Patreon.
Which I've tried to resolve, so I hope that I have.
Okay.
If not,
Patreon sucks.
If by the time everybody's listening, we haven't like resolved it, please let Mark know within the next day or two. I'm on shift tomorrow and then I'm on shift Wednesday. So I'll get to it as soon as I possibly can. It's touch and go lately. Like the other day.
Why some people get it and then other people have problems with it. We have no clue.
Yeah.
And then I got forwarded a response from Patreon and they blamed it on us.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Saying that we uploaded it wrong.
Oh my God.
Then how are other people getting it?
Ow! What? God damn it.
What?
That little fucker just stuck his nail in my butt cheek.
Oh, you scared the shit out of me.
Well, it scared the shit out of me. Oh. Bastard.
Wrecker or Hunter?
Fucking Wrecker. You didn't see him sitting there. Ow.
No.
It was like right on my butt cheek.
Oh, that scared the shit out of me.
It scared the shit out of me.
I think I pooped my pants.
Ow. That hurt.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
But yeah, so I'll try and get to him. It's touch and go at the firehouse. The other day we had like 17 fucking calls. We did 7 after midnight. So
but yeah, let me know if you're having issues.
Yeah.
We have 2 free episodes, this one, and then our next one is probably going to be a 2-parter.
It's going to be a 2-parter, but we're going to release them at the same time.
So after that, though, our next Patreon is going to be Pike County.
Pike County Massacre.
Right. So it's going to be another good one. So if you want to join up, it's going to be an excellent episode.
That one might be a 2-parter.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be.
Yeah.
That was a request. Sarah, I believe. Requested it, right?
I don't remember who, but yeah, it's been requested. Yeah.
And then today's a request.
Today is a request too. But if you want to join up, like I was saying, www.patreon.com/deathdoespart1. We have over 40 episodes. Some are double parters. You guys, they're great episodes. We usually save the big ones for Patreon. Mm-hmm. So
I did just learn a fun fact about JFK.
What?
Because, you know, we did the four-parter on him.
Yeah.
So he's on the half dollar.
Yeah.
And they started coming out in 64, so like the year after he died. His family did not want him to replace a president on a coin.
Oh, really?
Ben Franklin was on the half dollar prior to 64.
Oh.
Ben Franklin is the only person that was on a coin that was not a president.
No shit.
That is how JFK got put on the half dollar.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
That's fascinating.
I know. I'm so fucking smart.
That's fucking fascinating. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. Isn't that cool? That. Yeah.
I was very excited to really learn that. Cool. Yeah. So.
Wow.
There's my fun fact.
Mm.
Yep.
Hey, what did the hat say? Jesus. What did the hat say to the other hat?
What?
Stay here. I'm going ahead.
Really? The two jokes that your son just told me, too. Can't say those on here.
Probably not.
Amazing. If you want to know, though, hit me up. I'll fucking tell you. Because they're fantastic.
Where he finds his jokes.
I don't
jokes,
know, but I'm like, dude, don't tell Nana.
They're not for me. I'm telling you.
They're not even for me.
No, they're not from us.
You know they're bad when I tell them at the firehouse, and even the guys are like, oh, man. And I'm right. Like, ugh, I know. Right. Shit. If firemen think they're offensive,
yeah, they're offensive. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, but they're funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's a, dude, he's a trip.
So today is a request from Heather.
Today is a request. And I looked it up, to be honest with you, because I never heard about it before. I looked it up. And
it's brutal.
It's brutal.
It's brutal.
And I'm very excited for it. I don't think we've done a case like this.
No. And it's modern day, which is even more disgusting.
Right.
So I don't give trigger warnings often. I will give a trigger warning. The details of the death are a little gruesome. They're a little gory.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, you guys know I like details. So, just an FYI.
Right.
A little gory. But it's pretty bad. It's just a bad story all the fuck around.
Oh, my God. It's terrible.
And, yeah. I got as much background as I could on everybody involved. You kind of don't really see it coming, per se, I should say.
But he needs his story told.
It's very much a Time to Kill vibes.
Yeah, right. The movie A Time to Kill.
Very much in the sense of the race separation.
Yeah.
And it being modern day times. It's right. Very much A Time to Kill.
And like I said, we've never done a case like this.
I mean, this is clear cut racism.
Oh yeah.
There's no way around it.
Yeah.
And it's admitted. It's self-admitted clear-cut racism. So it's disgusting. There's no way around it.
I want to hear this one. I definitely want to hear this one.
All right. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So in between drinks of beer, Keith Adams and James Traylor laughed and shared stories about former neighbor James Byrd Jr. Adams said, quote, "He was a clown, always singing, always doing impersonations. He said he was going to make history." Byrd made history, but not the way he talked about. His brutal and gruesome murder shocked the nation and brought heated attention to a small East Texas town known as the, quote, "jewel of the forest." Numerous aspects of his murder mimic, quote, "popular lynching traditions of the post-Civil War South, including mutilation, decapitation, and revelry." Now, if you don't know what revelry means, I looked it up because of a Zach Bryan song.
Oh, what is it?
Partying, basically.
Oh.
Partying and, like, celebration of, like, sometimes not so good things.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, yeah. So his murder also focused national attention on the prevalence of white supremacist prison gangs and resulted in the first two white men sentenced to death for killing a black man in Texas.
Wow.
Several new hate crime laws were created because of it. And, excuse me, it was also the end of last meals in Texas. Because that was a shit show.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you all about that. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
It forced the public to realize that a well-liked black man was killed for the color of his skin in modern day times. Mm. Yeah. All right, so James Byrd Jr. was born May 2nd, 1949 in Beaumont, Texas, to parents Stella Mae Sharp and James Byrd Sr. James was third out of nine children raised in Jasper, Texas. He was the oldest boy and was the family comedian and protector. His sister, Luvan, said when she thinks about her childhood, she has feelings of warmth and safety. James played a huge role in that family dynamic. So his mom was a Sunday school teacher and his father was a deacon at the Greater New Bethel Church. I wanted to look this up. What is the difference between like a preacher and a deacon?
Well, a deacon, I believe, I thought a deacon was with the Catholic Church and a deacon can get married.
They're not Catholic and he's obviously then, married.
I don't know. I thought a deacon was strictly with the Catholic Church and a deacon can get married and can say mass with a priest.
Oh, well, this is a like a Baptist church.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Hang on. Yeah, I should have looked.
What are you doing?
I'm turning my watch around because it's a flashlight now.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I see that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's actually really cool.
Okay. So, oh, much better. There we go. Okay. So, he also happened to be the cousin of Danita Lyles King, who was Rodney King's first wife and mother to his daughter.
What?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that... No way. That's kind of fucky, right? Like, the way that, you know... That worked out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. So
what a small world.
I know. Hang on, I'm switching my watch to the other hand. So
what a small fucking world.
Now, James would sing and play the piano at church. He was actually academically gifted, was how he was described, and musically talented. He would play the piano and the trumpet, a bunch of other things. He was described as charismatic and was generally well-liked.
Yeah.
In 1967, he graduated from Jasper Rao High School, and he was actually part of the last segregated class before that school consolidated with Jasper High School.
Mm-hmm.
Despite excellent academic records and urging from his parents, James decided to not follow in his sister's footsteps by going to college. He just didn't want to.
Yeah.
However,
it's not for everyone.
He soon began drinking heavily. Yeah. And not long after, started struggling with alcoholism.
Yeah.
He would sporadically work as a vacuum salesman, which was a job he was apparently fucking great at.
Yeah.
His sister said, quote, he could sell anything. By the time he'd leave, you'd have a $2,000 vacuum.
That's cool.
Like, do people still do that? I need to take my hat off, don't I?
Yeah. It keeps hitting the mic.
I know. It's hair washing day, so
yeah,
you know how that goes.
Oh, I got you.
So in 1970, James got married and had three children, two daughters, Renee and Jamie, and one son named Ross.
Jamie.
Who ends up being a cop.
Oh, no kidding.
Uh-huh. So between 1969 and 1996, James Jr. was incarcerated several times for various offenses, including theft, forgery, and parole violation. Nothing... Yeah.
Major.
Violent.
Yeah.
You know, all nonviolent crimes.
Yeah.
In 1993, James and his wife divorced. And in 1996, he moved back from Jasper. All the sources said back from Jasper, but it didn't say where. Like, I don't know if him and his wife moved somewhere with the kids and then he came back or...
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. At this point, though, he decided he was going to improve his life and he joined AA.
Oh, good deal.
He had a fall that left him with a seizure disorder, which rendered him completely disabled.
Yeah.
He couldn't drive because you can't normally, if you have a persistent seizure disorder, you can't get a driver's license.
Yeah.
So he lived off disability checks and was in government subsidized housing.
Yeah.
James was well known around the town because, like I said, he didn't have a car. He would walk through town to visit neighbors, friends, and family. And would entertain them with jokes or musical performances.
Sounds like a decent guy.
Yeah, he really was. Like, I mean, petty theft, you know, forgery. Yeah. Nothing, like I said, nothing violent.
Right.
So friend Gloria Mays Washington said, quote, I remember him as a jolly person who loved to sing. Pastor Kenneth Lyons said, quote, everybody knew James Byrd Jr. Everybody loved him because of his personality and the way he'd get along with people. In addition to singing and playing the piano, like I said, James also played the trumpet and was often asked to perform at birthday parties, funerals, and other events in the neighborhood.
Hmm.
So.
Interesting.
James was well known to the sheriff's department also.
Yeah.
As his drinking resulted in several arrests for many nonviolent minor crimes. Luvan said she thought her brother's vivacious attitude would keep him out of harm's way. Quote, James was a loving person and he loved people. So you can't figure out who in the world would get mad enough at James to kill him.
Yeah.
She was shocked and confused when her sister called her to tell her that the police had found James dead. On June 7th of 1998, which was a Sunday morning, Jasper County Sheriff Billy Rowles, was driving to Dallas for a golf tournament. He heard on his police radio that a body had been found on Huff Creek Road. Rowles contacted the deputy on scene and said it appeared to be a hit and run.
Ooh.
Rowles turned around. No, I still need the flashlight.
It's turning off.
Flashlight.
Engage.
Yeah. So Rowles turned around and headed to Jasper. When he pulled up to the scene, he saw tracks on the ground and immediately thought it was going to be easy to identify the car involved in the incident.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of what he thought was tire tracks was a heavily mutilated and dismembered body.
Oh, God.
I need a drink. Hang on.
Holy fuck, man.
Did you, like, you just know the story. You don't know, like,
I don't know. I don't know the details.
Oh, fuck. All right, you're in for it. Rowles was told that the body had been found by a man and his grandson out for a walk.
Oh.
The body was that of a black man whose head and right shoulder and arm were missing.
Oh, Jesus.
The skin around the body's ankles was torn off, exposing bone. And while police were surveying the scene, another frantic 911 call came in. A mile down Huff Creek Road, a woman found a human head and a shoulder in the ditch in front of her house.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
When police got there, they found human tissue in the head and shoulder that matched the body of the first scene.
Yeah.
Rowles walked the road between the two scenes. What he initially thought was tire tracks and skid marks turned out was blood. It was then that it dawned on him that someone had dragged this man behind a vehicle for quite some time. There was a trail of evidence between the two scenes and past the woman's house. There was more blood, a shirt, dentures, keys, a shoe, and other articles of clothing on the road. The blood trail eventually left the pavement and turned down a secluded logging road.
Yeah. Man, this is fucking terrible already.
In a clearing at the end of the logging road, police found clear signs of a struggle. There was upturned grass, disturbed dirt, and a broken beer bottle.
Mm-hmm.
They also found a shit ton of evidence.
Oh, really? Like what?
They found half a dozen beer cans.
Hey.
Several cigarette butts. Oof. A screwdriver or a wrench, depending on the source.
Yeah.
With the word Barry etched into it, into the handle.
God.
A Zippo lighter with a symbol and the word possum on it. Mm. Altogether, the crime scene spanned across 3 miles of rural road.
Oh, that's fucked up, mm-hmm. man. Oh, my God, I would be pissed.
The location of the body was left at appeared to be a symbol or a message because it was left directly in front of a historically black church and cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Police soon got a tip from a young man who saw a suspicious gray pickup truck in the area overnight. He also saw James Byrd riding in the bed of the truck with 2 to 3 men in the cab at approximately 2:30 to 2:45. So people were like, no, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, nobody kept quiet.
Right.
That's the thing. So,
which is good. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah. So now after hearing this, they pretty much confirmed that the body was that of James Byrd Jr. I mean, you could look at the face on the decapitated head.
Right.
Now, Rowles then immediately thought of possible suspects. 23-year-old Jasper resident Sean Barry, Barry on the ranch, owned a truck that matched the witness's description. Barry lived with 24-year-old John King and 31-year-old Lawrence Brewer. Both were known and self-proclaimed white supremacists.
Fucking assholes.
Yeah. By the end of Sunday, all three men were in custody for a variety of other charges. Sean got pulled over and was subsequently arrested for a traffic violation, and his car was searched. In that search, they found a toolbox with the word Barry etched into it.
Oh my God, Barry, you're killing me, Smalls.
They also found a significant amount of blood and tissue on the underside of the truck.
Yeah.
Sean cooperated and told police that he had been driving around with two friends, Lawrence Brewer and John King.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit about those three. Sean Allen Barry was born on February 12, 1975 in East Texas. He was a part-time mechanic, a theater manager, a failed burglar, and had been to prison boot camp in 1992. those who knew him thought he was just one more drunken joyride away from another trip to prison.
Yeah.
He would drink and drive.
Good job, idiot.
He would do a lot of, like, dumb little shit. Nothing mean or violent ever before, also.
You're right.
A previous boss said that he would make dumb mistakes, but he didn't have a mean streak. Friends say they never heard Sean say anything racist and actually had several black friends.
I hate people who say that.
I know.
I'm not racist. I have black
friends. I have black friends.
Dude, shut the fuck up.
Do you think
up.
They say the same thing?
I'm not racist. I have white friends.
Oh my God. Do you remember when I...
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I had to dispatch a call with the guy screaming, "It's a white woman! It's a white woman!"
Right.
Okay, I'm what? Sending you a black paramedic. What do you want me to do?
Exactly.
Do we drive faster for white women? Exactly. I don't know. Yeah. I made sure.
Fill me in. I'm clueless.
I called the one paramedic and I let him know. I was like, he's screaming, "It's a white woman." And the medic's like, "Did you tell him you're sending a black man?" And I was like, "You know I did." So, his dad died when he was a teenager, and he was not, like, super close with his mom.
Yeah.
He did have a small child with a Jasper woman. He quit school in eighth grade. So a bunch of little random factoids about him. He quit school in the eighth grade, and the boot camp seemed to help with robbery and bullshit like that. The prosecution would later concede that Sean wasn't a white supremacist, but alleged he was now a thrill killer.
What?
Yeah. So now John William King was born on November 3rd of 1974. He was also born and raised in East Texas. He was remembered as a mannerly boy and was quiet around adults. His family was blue-collar Baptist, and he dropped out of school in the 10th grade and started doing manual labor jobs. People said his biggest vice was snuff. So,
hey, that's me too, man.
He felt almost abandoned by Jasper and the people in the county after he went to boot camp, per his father. And then he did. So the boot camp was him and Sean did a burglary and they got caught, obviously. Yeah. Now for John, the boot camp really was just prep for more prison time. He violated parole so often, he was finally sent to Beto 1, which was apparently a tough prison in Texas.
Oh, never heard of it.
Me either. Friends and relatives say that he came out a different person.
When you go to prison, regardless, it's going to change you.
Yeah. Prison taught him to hate. One ever recalled him being overly racist prior to prison. But after his last release from prison, he would repeatedly say that he was repeatedly raped by several black inmates.
Ooh.
He came out of prison with several racially motivated tattoos. He had a black man hanging from a tree. He had, the Nazi symbols. He also had the term Aryan pride. And then he had a patch for a white supremacist gang group. Like, it's their symbol.
Yeah.
And the word possum, which was his prison nickname, which possum. Was on the lighter that they found, which also had the white supremacist patch on the lighter.
Go figure.
Yeah, you guys didn't really think this through.
No, they didn't think this through at all.
So now, in Beta 1, he met Lawrence Brewer. Lawrence Russell Brewer was born on March 13th, 1967, also born in East Texas. He was in and out of jail for drug and burglary convictions most of his adult life. He moved in with King just prior to this incident happening. It was said that he came from a solid, hardworking Texas family that were, quote, real respected people. His grandfather said, quote, everybody liked him. I don't know what to say. He didn't have that makeup. Oh, but he did.
Oh, I think he did.
Friends and relatives also say that prison taught him to hate. In 1994, he met John in the Beto unit. They both joined the Confederate Knights of America, which was a loosely organized prison gang for white supremacists.
It sounds racist. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, tell me you're a fucking Nazi without telling right. me you're a Nazi. Well, I belong to the Confederate Knights of America.
Yeah, right. I mean, ugh.
Not a great name. Lawyer dipshit Bill Morion Jr. said that he joined for protection and said, quote, if you don't join, you become someone's wife.
I've heard that before, so I don't know.
Generally not out of the mouths of an attorney.
No. Shouldn't be saying that, dude.
Probably not. Now, the prosecution would later label him as a racist psychopath, which I agree with.
You think?
He also had several racially motivated tattoos. So now on June 6th of 1998, James Byrd spent the day with family and at his niece's bridal shower. The party then continued at his parents' home. This motherfucker.
It keeps going out.
I know.
Son of a bitch.
I know. It's pretty cool that I can do that, though.
It is cool.
So,
but son of a biscuit.
He left around 1 a.m. on June 7th to walk home. dude, this fucking cat.
I know.
Which one?
Both cats are being fucking annoying.
Are you just
right
gonna
now.
Come up here? Dude, they clawed the fuck out of my neck the other day. It looked like I got into like a legit fight. It was bad.
It did. I felt bad for you.
So people who saw James that night said that he was in a quote good mood after attending the party. And he was, quote, very friendly to everybody and harmless. Now, per Sean, the men, him, Lawrence, and John, were driving around drinking and looking for women.
Hey.
Who I'm sure were not looking for you.
Probably not.
No. No.
Hey, girl. Hey, boo. Yeah,
what, do you flash him the fucking noose on your fucking back?
Right. Like,
what?
Hey, girl, check this out.
Check out my Aryan Pride on your right. fucking twiggy arm? No. Right. No. I'm going to solid fucking pass on that one.
Right. Take a sip.
I'm gonna. So, Sean said he recognized James from walking around the town. And offered him a ride, being nice. John apparently got pissed off by this, but then decided that he wanted to scare James. So John took over the wheel and drove east towards the outskirts of Jasper. He drove down an old logging road to a small clearing in the woods. The men then beat James savagely.
Damn.
They spray painted his face
with
black spray
you.
Paint and then urinated and defecated on him.
Dude, if that's not like a sign of
right.
disrespect and
I don't even know what to say to half of this.
That's like, disgusting.
I like don't even know what to say to half of this. It's so fucking bad.
Just fuck you.
So Sean said at this point he ran and was picked up a short time later. Now the other men don't really confirm or deny this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it actually happened.
Okay.
But Sean said that this is when he attempted to stop the attack, but was then threatened by John that the same thing would happen to him. So that's why he ran.
Oh.
Now, Lawrence would later say that Sean cut James's throat prior to him being tied to the truck. It would come out that there's literally no evidence of this actually happening. Like, there's no autopsy, everything like that.
No.
Why would you say it?
Why? Yeah.
Which almost makes me think that Sean did run.
Yeah.
During this part of it. And that's, he got picked up later.
I kind of get that feeling too.
That's what made me think that he wasn't really part of the tying up and dragging. So then John and Lawrence then tied James to the truck by his ankles with a tow chain.
Oh my God.
They drove on the logging road and onto the asphalt of Huff Creek Road. They dragged James for 2 miles.
Oh, my God.
James bounced into a ditch on the right side of the road and hit the ragged edge of a concrete culvert, which is a roadside drainage ditch, just below the right arm. This severed his arm, his shoulder, his neck, and his head from the rest of his body.
Dear Lord.
They then continued to drag him for another mile.
Fucking assholes. Oh,
the autopsy gets worse. They dumped what remained of James in front of the historically black church. This is where Sean allegedly comes back. So, again, I think this is where, like, Sean came back. He met him over at the church.
Yeah.
John made sure that Sean knew that even though he left, he was just as guilty as John and Lawrence. They buried the chain in a friend's backyard and then went to a barbecue later that day.
Oh, because that's what you do.
So that's the revelry part of it.
Yeah.
They go and they celebrate, you know. Within 24 hours of the murder, Rowles contacted the FBI after determining that this was a hate crime.
Fuck yeah, it
is. A killing so clearly motivated by a victim's race needed to be under federal jurisdiction. So kudos to you. Like, the cops really, like, did the damn thing here. They really did.
It sounds like it.
I mean,
good job.
They had these guys in custody almost immediately.
Good fucking
And it's
work.
Because this guy, Rowles, he knew the truck. Like, right. He knew they were shitbags.
Good fucking
work. So, yeah, they did great. So the special agent in charge of the Houston FBI office said that they were assisting because of, quote, extreme circumstances. So they ended up, you know, getting a search warrant and everything. They found racist literature in the shared apartment of John and Lawrence. And it turns out they also found evidence that these guys were working to run a subset of the Confederate Knights of America.
Again, tell me you're a Nazi without telling me.
Yeah. Also, I thought that was just a prison gang. Are you trying to, like, open that shit outside of prison?
It sounds like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So witnesses stated, too, that John constantly referenced the Turner Diaries. Do you know what the Turner Diaries are?
I've heard of it.
It is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay. So, The Turner Diaries. It's a 1978 novel by William Luther Pierce, who couldn't even write it under his real name. He had to do it under a pseudonym of Andrew McDonald.
Yeah.
Who happened to be the founder and chairman of the National Alliance of the White Nationalists.
That's right. Yeah.
It depicts a violent revolution in the United States, and it leads to the overthrow of the federal government, a nuclear war, and ultimately a race war. It leads to the systemic extermination of Jews and non-whites that were also classified as liberal actors and politicians. They were all murdered in masses. The FBI calls this the, quote, Bible of the racist right. It 1,000 fucking percent was. Now, do you remember where else we heard the Turner Diaries?
No, I don't.
The Oklahoma City bombing.
That's right.
Timothy McVeigh.
That's right. Yes.
So this book was influential in shaping white nationalism and contributed to numerous hate crimes and acts of terrorism, including the 1984 assassination of Alan Berg, who was part of a Jewish group, the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, and the 1999 London nail bombing.
Mm-hmm.
All of them referenced, like, specifically referenced the Turner Diaries.
Oh, no shit.
It is estimated to have influenced perpetrators in over 200 killings.
Wow.
Why do we still publish it? Freedom of speech. I get it.
But still.
Yeah, that's a...
When does freedom of speech go too far?
Then.
What I mean?
Right the fuck then.
Like, I get freedom of speech, but when the fuck does it go too far? And you
gotta
be like.
That's not freedom of speech. That's a fucking plan.
Exactly.
That's a plan.
Exactly. When it crosses a line, you've gotta be like, hey, that's too much.
This is what I can maybe reference to. Okay, so Columbine. I know it's a sore subject, but so they have the basement tapes.
Yeah.
And there's also another tape that's called Nixon.
Yeah.
Now, these tapes have never been heard by anybody other than law enforcement.
Right.
And they never will be.
Right.
Now, a lot of news outlets and media outlets were like, well, fuck you, freedom of speech. Like, he was 18 when he did it, freedom of speech, like, just release it. And they refused to release it based on the fact that it could be a reference and a playbook for somebody else doing it.
Exactly.
So they won't release it. They're refusing to release
Good.
It. And they've gotten in trouble a few times for not releasing it.
Oh, wow.
And they won't. They just will not do it.
Fight me for
because
it.
Because the other thing is, like, they, you know, people have referenced it and it's been spoken about, so people know for the gist of what's on it, at least the basement tapes.
Yeah.
The Nixon tape, nobody fucking knows what's on it. And they refuse to release it because of the survivors. They don't want them to hear it.
Good.
So good. Why are we still publishing this book?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So. James's autopsy revealed horrific injuries, most that he was alive for. The coroner who did the autopsy said, quote, "The victim was alive when he was chained to the rear bumper of the pickup truck and dragged 1,000 yards. He was also alive while, quote, being dragged another 2.3 miles along the paved road until his body, quote, struck a concrete culvert along the road, resulting in the torso being pulled apart. The head, neck, and right shoulder and arm were separated from the body, but the autopsy shows that James was most likely conscious up until that exact point.
Oh, dear Lord.
It also shows that he attempted to hold his head up while being dragged and rolled from side to side to endure the pain.
Dear Lord.
So you figure he's chained at the ankles.
This poor fucking
guy.
He's
trying to sit up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, almost all of his ribs were broken. The dragging resulted in, quote, massive brush burn abrasions. He had grit and gravel in his scrotal sac, and his testicles and penis were gone.
Oh, my God.
Gone.
Dear Lord.
His knees, feet, and buttocks were completely worn down. The left buttock was worn down, the left cheek on his face was so worn down that much of the jawbone was exposed. Most of his toes were either fractured or missing. The muscle on both legs was exposed. However, his skull and brain were intact, which reinforces the theory that James was conscious for most of this ordeal.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
James's murder was strongly, obviously, I forgot a word in there.
The?
Yeah, no.
It?
I don't want to say criticized because that's not the word I was thinking of, but by Jesse Jackson and the Martin Luther King Jr. Center as an act of vicious racism. This is one time that Jesse Jackson, I am with you, my dude.
Oh my God.
I'm with you on this.
Dude, if you guys know where I worked, Jesse Jackson marched at our gun shop so many times with Father Flager.
Yep.
And I have so many issues with them. And how they treated us, but
this is one time
where
I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I'm with you on this one. So, this really focused national attention on the prevalence, like I said before, the white supremacist prison gangs. James's three sisters were Jehovah Witnesses. I don't know if he was also. They just really reference his three sisters.
Yeah.
They released a joint statement saying, quote, "Having a loved one tortured and lynched produced an unimaginable sense of loss and pain. How does one respond to such a brutal act? Retaliation, hateful speech, or promotion of hate propaganda never entered our minds. We thought, what would Jesus have done? How would he have responded? The answer was crystal clear. His message would have been out of peace and hope." Like, his family? Dude. Like, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I can't hide the anger now. I don't know how they did. And they were so respectful and just...
How?
I don't know.
God bless you guys.
It's like all
guys.
These people, like the parents of the kids murdered, like when they come out and they're just better fucking people.
Oh, way better people.
Like they're
I don't know how you would handle it.
They're better people than
I'd
me.
Fucking lose it.
They're better.
I'd absolutely fucking lose it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, like we brought up A Time to Kill earlier.
That would be totally me.
There was one in the 80s too. The dad, they were pulling this guy through a building who had raped his son.
Oh, yeah.
That's, he was standing that's at the payphone like, hey.
That's famous.
Fuck you. That would be me.
He's voted like Father of the Year.
That would be me.
That would totally be me. I wouldn't even care. I wouldn't. Nope. I would not
wouldn't even
fucking
hesitate.
Hide it.
Nope. So.
I'm going to jail.
On the day of James's funeral, the family church overflowed with over 200 mourners, including Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and NAACP president, I cannot say his name, Kwesi Mifum.
That's close enough.
There were 600 more plus outside to mourn. Dennis Rodman paid for the funeral expenses and gave the family $25,000.
No shit.
And Don King gave each of the Bird children $100,000 each for educational purposes.
Good for them.
Which all three of them used, and all three of them went to college and are just thriving.
Good for them.
So
good for them.
Daughter Jamie was 16 at the time. She is now a Houston police officer. Said, quote, "My dad's funeral was closed casket. We didn't get those last final goodbyes with my dad. I believe they targeted my dad because he was walking. It was an easy pickup."
Yeah.
So, all three men would inevitably be convicted of capital murder.
Right.
Sean Berry, in an attempt to prove that Sean wasn't a white supremacist, his attorneys got three black friends to testify on his behalf.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not racist. I have black friends.
Right. Sean maintained he had very little role in the murder and tried to stop the attack before Lawrence threatened him. He denies cutting James's throat, like Lawrence alleged, and the jury found no evidence to support that he had cut the throat.
Yeah.
Now, Sean was also the only one to show remorse, so he was the only one who was spared the death penalty.
Did any of them talk?
Not about what they did?
Like, yeah.
Not
the police or anything?
No, not really. Wow. A couple of them said some pretty heinous things to each other, and then one of them gave a pretty shitty statement to a news outlet, but
yeah,
I'll get to
it. Yeah, but that's it.
Yeah. So he was sentenced to life with the possibility of parole, which he'll be eligible for in June of 2038 when he is 63.
Oh, fuck you. You need to die in
that. He has been in protective custody with the Texas Department of Criminal Justice's Ramsey unit since being incarcerated.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah.
He's going to be fucking ass raped like you wouldn't believe, and he should be.
So John King was accused of beating James with a bat prior to dragging him.
Dear Lord.
He wrote a jailhouse letter to Lawrence that was intercepted, obviously, and expressed pride in the crime. He said that he realized while committing the murder that he might have to die, and said, quote, "Regardless of the outcome of this, we have made history. Death before dishonor. See Kyle."
Fuck you.
Yep. He was found guilty of kidnapping and capital murder with the aspect of a hate crime and was sentenced to death. He was on death row.
I was
going to
say, like, yeah, they should
both,
be.
They both were executed.
Thank God.
The death row Pulaski unit.
Texas, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping the death penalty.
Seriously.
Thank you.
On December 21st of 2018, his execution was scheduled for April 24th of 2019. On April 22nd, 2019, appeals to both the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals and the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles were denied. I love how they wait till the last motherfucking day. Like, they let you just hang on to that little bit of hope. Like, maybe I'll get out. Ah, fuck you.
No.
On April 24th, 2019, he was executed by lethal injection at the Huntsville unit of the Texas Department of Corrections.
It should be fuck. Isn't it Utah or Idaho that still has the firing squad?
I want to say it's Idaho.
Oh,
because
whichever state it is,
I remember
that's the way it should be.
Doing the Idaho college murders, and the one mom was like, fucking shoot him.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Because I was like, yeah, mom.
I can't remember if
it's
Idaho or Utah.
I think it's, but I'm pretty sure it's Idaho.
The firing squad, that's how it should be. Fuck lethal injection.
You can tell me I got the magic bullet. It's okay. Because they don't.
Right.
They line up the five to seven shooters and they put a live round in one of their guns and nobody knows who it is.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, they don't know.
I didn't know that.
That way they don't have to live with the guilt of knowing they were
way.
The one. Yeah. So, and tell me I got the fucking magic bullet. Yeah, they don't tell him.
Oh, tell me.
Yeah,
I want to know that I killed
so
this
motherfucker.
So obviously,
you have to be a good fucking shot. Can you?
Yeah.
Because, like, the guy with the fucking magic bullet misses. Whoops.
Right. Whoops.
Whoops.
Round two.
Stand by. That was practice.
Right.
Practice.
Dummy shot.
So Lawrence Brewer. A psychiatrist testified that Lawrence was not repentant for his crime. Duh. He was found guilty of kidnapping and capital murder with the aspect of a hate crime and was also sentenced to death row in the Pulaski unit. He gave an interview to KHOU News 11 Houston the day before the execution, not education.
Education.
And expressed
edumacation.
No remorse. He said, quote, "As far as regrets, no, I have no regrets.
Oh, fuck
no,
you.
No, I'd do it all over again to tell you the truth."
Dude, You deserve this, to die.
He didn't fight his execution, by
the way. You deserve to die 100%.
All right. So he ordered an extensive last meal. And I knew you were going to ask me what he ordered. I literally wrote down everything he ordered.
Really?
Yeah. It's half a page.
Oh, I could believe it.
All right. You ready?
I mean, to be honest with you, if I was on death row, I would go a little crazy too.
I don't know what I would want, though.
I would want half a fucking menu.
Oh, that's, yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Two chicken fried steaks with gravy and sliced onions.
Yeah, good choice.
Okay, I can get down with that.
Yeah.
A triple patty bacon cheeseburger.
Oh, I could get down with that.
Three fully loaded fajitas.
Yeah.
A cheese omelet with ground beef and tomatoes.
Not so much.
And onions. I'm not going to lie. Like, the next day, my partner and I got omelets, and I got ground beef and tomatoes. Yeah. And
you're such a dick.
And then I was like, oh, God. Like, it didn't click right away.
You're such
Why?
A dick.
Like, I just hit him. And then I'm like, oh, I'm a dick.
Yeah, you're a dick.
It didn't click. It was so fucking bad. Yeah. A bowl of fried okra with ketchup.
Oh, no.
1 pound of barbecued meat with a half a loaf of white bread.
Yeah, I could dig that.
A meat lover's pizza.
Yeah, I could definitely dig that.
A pint of Bluebell vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, but...
Give me some fucking magic shell.
I was going to say, put some sauce on that.
A slab of peanut butter fudge with crushed peanuts on top. Like, how big is a slab?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
It's got to be pretty big.
And three root beers.
Yeah, I could get down with that.
When the meal arrived, he told prison officials... He wasn't hungry, and he didn't eat any of it.
I hope the guards fucking ate it.
The meal was then thrown out.
Oh, come on.
This immediately prompted State Senator John Whitmer to ask Texas prison officials to end the 87-year-old tradition of last meals.
Wow.
The prisons...
You know what? Good for that, though, because they are on death row.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You shouldn't get a last meal.
You know
meal.
The other guys are like... Dude,
you fucked
motherfucker.
It for...
Motherfucker. Yeah, really?
You asshole.
I was going to get fried chicken one last motherfucking time. Right. Like, really?
KFC one last time, dude.
Thanks
Fuck
for
you.
Fucking it up for the right. rest of us. You know they were pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Because this, like, happened.
A cheese quesadilla, man.
Dude, this immediately, like, within hours, ended last
No
meals.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. The prison's agency director responded by immediately terminating the practice.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And on September 21st, 2011, he was executed by lethal injection at the Huntsville unit of the Texas Department of Corrections.
Good.
John King and Lawrence Brewer were the first white men to be sentenced to death in the state of Texas for the death of a black man.
Man, no kidding.
In fucking 90 something. Isn't that fucking insane?
That's insane.
Yeah. Like it never happened before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a direct, like, it was a direct hate crime of killing a black man.
Yeah,
the first
but still.
Ones, yeah, I know.
In 98?
That's crazy.
That's fucked up.
So 8 months after James's murder, his family created the Byrd Foundation for Racial Healing to raise awareness of the impact of hate. They offered a hotline to help people with problems such as discrimination or mistreatment within the state's justice system. They offered counseling and helped victims attract more attention to their cases. They really did a really phenomenal job.
Yeah.
They distributed literature on racial tolerance in schools, provided education assistance to students, and promoted anti-hate messages nationwide. Unfortunately, the fundraising eventually became a challenge for the foundation, and Sister Luvan said, quote, "People don't want to they don't want to fund it because they think there's no hate in the world."
Oh, come
when
on.
When unfortunately there is.
There is a lot of it, unfortunately.
So his son, Ross, actually went on to fight against the death penalty.
Really?
And actually advocated for the two that killed his father.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Dude, you are a better person
You're
than I
You're a better
am.
Man than I. Yeah.
You are way better than
yep.
me.
Yep. So that is the story of James Byrd.
Oh, my God.
It's horrific.
I wanted to hear it so bad, but it is so heartbreaking and terrible. I got chills listening to it.
It's
evil.
I had a hard time reading some of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's pure evil. Yeah. That is the definition of evil in our world.
Yeah. So, Heather brought it up to me because she wanted to know. She's like, it's a terrible, terrible case. I'm not asking you to do it because it's that bad, which of course made me want to do it.
Right.
She's like, I just want to know if he knew his murders.
Yeah.
He knew at least one of them. at least acquaintances from around the town, which is why he got in the truck with them.
Exactly. You know? If he didn't know, I doubt he would have.
No, not in this day and age.
No, I doubt he would have gotten in.
So.
Oh, my God. How fucking sad.
Yeah. Terrible.
How fucking sad. Well, thank you for doing a deep dive on that. I wanted to hear it.
That was a big one. I just don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't get it.
I don't think we ever will.
I don't think we will.
No, I don't think we ever will. Yeah. But
because we don't think like that.
No.
That's why.
No, but there's pure evil in this world.
People don't think like that.
No.
I don't care what color your skin is. If you're a shitbag, you're a shitbag.
Exactly.
And if you're a good person, you're a good person. It doesn't fucking matter. You can be green, white, purple, or gray. I don't care.
Exactly.
So what does it fucking matter?
What does it fucking matter?
It's so stupid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Jamie. I appreciate you doing that one. I know it was hard.
Yeah, it was a big one.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know it was tough. I know it was a trigger warning.
Yeah.
I know it was pretty graphic, but I hope you enjoyed it and got something from it. Our next episode is going to be Ivan
Milat.
Which is a request
from one of our Australian listeners. It's an Australian case.
Yeah.
So, and it's like Canada, like you don't hear a lot.
Right.
So.
Right. So we decided to do it. It's probably going to be.
It's going to be two parts.
It's going to be a two-parter. And then after that, our next Patreon is going to be Pike County, which
probably going to be two parts also.
And that's also a request.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for throwing out the requests.
Yeah.
We've gotten quite a few.
Yeah.
So.
There's a couple more I know that I want to do.
Yeah.
Willie Picton's going to be coming up. I know we're doing that.
Okay.
So there's a couple more.
Well, good deal.
Got it.
So guys, I hope you enjoyed this one. Please like, follow, share, tell your friends, tell your family, and we will be talking to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.